Okay, we're up to the last line on Yud Beis on the base. Today's daf being the Gimel. So the last piece that we had in the Mishnah was Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Amar Tamid Echad and Rabbi Akiva Emer Alzeve Alzenechlokus. So the question was in the Mishnah, the Machlokus Beit Shamayim Beit Hillel, about whether we require either a Lechi or a Korah, or both a Lechi and the Korah. A unnamed Talmud quoted Rabbi Yishmael said in front of Rabbi Akiva that actually they were only arguing about a Mavoi that was 4 Amot plus, between 4 Amot and 10 Amot. Less than that, there was no problem. Rabbi Akiva said, no, that's not true. Same Machlokus. Says the Gemara, when Rabbi Akiva says, Alzevi, Alzevi, Nefesh, all he's doing is repeating the Tanakhama. The Mishnah opens with a Machlokus without giving us any limits. So Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's like we thought originally. What's the point of saying such a thing? So Rabbi Akiva, I'm the Tanakhama, he could be Nayu, the Rav Akhli, became Rabbi Akiva, Volo Mesaimi. The Nafkamina is, yesterday we saw, when we asked the Ad Kama, what's the minimal size that we would require the Tikkun? So we said, according to Rav Akhli, up until, meaning up till going downwards, of course, 4 Amos, 4 Tvachim, less than 4 Tvachim already, no Tikkun Mavri applies. So the Nafkamina between Rav Akiva and the Tanakama is that one of them holds that there is some limit, Rav Akhli, and one of them holds, no, there's no limit. Well, on the same, we don't have any raya as to which one holds what. But we do know that there are two shittos. Is there a fourth tefachim limit or not? Tanya Amar Rabbi Akiva. Lo Amar Rabbi Yishmael Davar Zeh. I got news for you guys. Rabbi Yishmael never said this. Elo Oto Talmid Amar Davar Zeh. I like the way he quotes Rabbi Yishmael. You know, it was his own chidush, Oto Talmid. And I got to tell you something. He's a smart guy. La Halakha, Koto Talmid. And that's the halacha. What do you mean? Hagufa Kashmir. First, you put down what he says. And you said it never was said by Rabbi Yishmael. Hagufa Kashmir. But lo, Amar Rabbi Yishmael Dover Zeh. Amaleti Yochatakavatem. The point of saying that, Lechera, is that you disapprove. And that we don't fasten that way. V'hadar Amret Halakako Tot Talmid. And then you say, yeah, I did a good job. No, Amar Rabbi Yudah, Amar Shmuel, lo, Amar Rabbi Akiva. Ela Lechadeid Ba HaTalmidim. Now, this is a very, very special usage of the idea of L'chadeira Talmidim. Usually L'chadeira Talmidim means to get everybody good and confused and to see who can come up with a good question and so on and so forth. Over here, Tosafot points out, that doesn't make sense to say it over here. Because, he's talking about what was. He says, Lo Amar Rabbi Yishmael Dover Zeh. So the only meaning to say that Alakakot Tosafot is that this guy is darn good. So L'chadeira means to make them smarter by giving them a compliment. Because people that are complimented develop and grow. That's also a type of thing you do. It's a beautiful thing for the worst we do. It's sharp positive reinforcement to sharpen their mind. So that he was indicating that Lamaisa he held that it was a wonderful svara. And he's been fasting maybe Lamaisa like it, but it was really terrific. You know, my grandfather, that's Albert Rudiman, always used to do that. He used to love somebody would say a good svara. And even if it was clearly not true, and it was not halacha, and everybody knew, if you came to a bechina, and you didn't have any idea what the answer was, you would tell him something that you had prepared in advance, a nice bar that you had come up with or something. He would forget completely about his question, and then, oh, good, good, good. He would go into ecstasies. But I wanted, and I asked him once, why do you do this? It's not true. How do you tell a person it's good? And he said that it's not true here, but it's true somewhere. And it's very interesting because there are many who learn that from Chapman Gomorrah. But exactly like that. They say that I realized later that he probably wasn't just saying that on his own. And that there's a number of different approaches on this dot specifically. This is the big dot about Egobelo Dibre Elohim Ayim. That's the way he used to look at it. Logic is logic. The question whether it fits in this particular context is rather good. That's not an issue. I admire his clarity. Now we'll see where it can be applied. Listen, that happens all the time in the world at large. Right? We come up with brilliant ideas that don't seem to have any application. Whole new mathematics. Ridiculous. And it turns out that he's the center of everything after a while. You got to admire that? Well, it's Guruta. It's Guruta, not Guruta. But sometimes I have to give the detail. Get ready for the cannon, I think, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the national bar Yitzchak Anar nearing Itzman. He didn't say how lofty. He said it would. I like what he's saying, but he wouldn't have said the lashon hara. On Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, I want to give you some background information here. Kol makom shatam would say mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amar Talmid Echad b'tnei Rabbi Akiva. You know, we never say who it is, but I'll let you in on the secret. Anytime you find this little formula, a certain Talmud said in the name of Rabbi Akiva, it's always the same Talmud. It's Eino Ela Rabbi Meir, because he was the Talmud that actually ended up learning both by Rabbi Yishmael and by Rabbi Akiva, and would quote what Rabbi Yishmael said. He would quote to Rabbi Akiva, and that's why it was Rabbi Meir.
The
Tanya. No, what son of Rabbi? Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi of Rabbi. Rabbi Meir, how do we know that that's what happened? Because the Tanya, I'm Rabbi Meir. Kishayiti etza Rabbi Yishmael, hayiti metil kan kantom l'toch adyo, v'lo amar li davar. Rabbi Meir was a famous sofer, and he used to actually, it says Rabbi Meir, because he was so familiar with the Torah that he wrote from his heart without comparing the, which is why they didn't like that too much. And we'll see that he was very, very worried about him making a mistake. But anyway, he said, when I used to learn by Rabbi Yishmael, I used to put kan kantom, and that's a machlokas, which we've spoken about many times, about exactly what the ingredients of kan kantom are, whether it's vitriol, whether it's shoe black. But in any event, it's a chemical that I would put into the ink that makes it much thicker and stickier. V'lo amar li davar, he had no problem with it. And then, kishabati et Rabbi Akiva, asra'alai, when I came to Rabbi Akiva, he says, you can't put that into the ink in a safer zone. Wait. How could that be the order of events? That what, he was learning by Rabbi Shmuel, then he went to Rabbi Akiva? I thought, Amr of Yudam Rishmuel, Mishmuel Rabbi Meir, kishayiti lo meir et Rabbi Akiva, hayiti matil kan kantam l'tochad yog lo amar li davar. The way we heard it was that he said, when I used to learn by Rabbi Akiva, I would put kan kantom into the ink and he never complained. V'lo amar li davar. Uchishabati et Rabbi Yishmael amar li. When I came to Rabbi Yishmael, he asked me, B'ni mamalachtecha, what is your business? What's your line of work? Amarti lo lavlarani. I'm a sofer. Amar li b'ni avi zagir b'malachtecha. Oh, that is an extremely sensitive job you've got. Shemalachtecha malachet shamayini. Because you're working marmish right up there in things b'rumo shel olam. Shema atam mechaser otachat, o miyater otachat, nimtzeta macharivet kol olam kolo. If you make a little mistake, you leave out a letter, you put in a letter, you could destroy the world. I mean, suppose if you're writing Hashem Elokim Emet, you leave out the olive and end up being weak or something. You leave out the olive from the Emet. I mean, that would be terrible. And then the Sefer Torah would be announcing that God is dead.
So,
well, it's interesting. I mean, the question is what we're talking about, Machlis Eilam. Tosfos actually doesn't agree with that Rashi. So on a partial level, I mean, it doesn't agree with that Rashi because that Rashi is not in the Sefer Torah, in the Vien. But others learn the reason he disagrees with Rashi because since it says Machlis Eilam, the implication is that it's referring to Maisa Bereishis. Particularly, and this is written in Maisa Bereishis. So he gives an example. Suppose you would add a vav to Bereishis Bara, it would be Bereishis Baru by Elohim. And it would be the plural gods created the world. You would be Makriv with Kfira, you would be Makriv in Elohim. But Lemaisa, I mean, the Balei Kabbalah, the simple explanation. Be careful not, buddy. But be careful not to get crumbs in the Gemara here. Okay, so the Balei Kabbalah explained that it's very simple. That since Lemaisa, all of the Oseus in the Torah are Shemas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Torah is, in fact, the entire program of Maisa Bereishis, it's like saying if you change one instruction in a computer program, you know, God only knows, you can have every airplane in the sky crashing. You know the crazy things that happen, you know. Take Ma Bell and AT&T down by putting in one wrong instruction. So if you put in the wrong letter, so that's it. You just blew up the whole world. interesting concept. But in modern terms, it's easy to understand the sensitivity of information and instructions. Like, in their time, it was very difficult to
DNA.
Exactly.
One
token.
Rabbi, why is
it
okay?
That's
all.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. A better example is mutation. Small, tiny change in an instruction, and you end up with a mess. It's not quite the whole world. Amartilo, so I told him, well, I want you to know I'm very, very careful, because I've got this magic ingredient, you see. Tavara Kadyesh, leave it Kan Kanton Shemo. I think the Ben Ishchai says, Kan Kanton Shemo, your Kan Kan is Kan. Meaning your ink container is in good shape. So it doesn't cause any problems. Shani Matila Tokadyo, I put it into the ink, and that way the ink doesn't run, and there's no problems with accidental erasures. We'll see later on, we're concerned, meaning that a fly lands on the ink while it's wet. And moves a little piece of a solid, it can turn into a race, which now the Mephoshim go into explaining how that could be marvelous for Oilam Kuloi. This becomes now a question on the sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam, who holds, we'll see, the Rabbeinu Tam sheet is that the little piece that comes down from the Yud is Ma'akev the Yud, the Kotzer Shol Yud, on the left side. Well, that's the easiest thing to bring an example from. Why did you bring an example from the Dalad and the race? I think a marvel. But okay.
Does this really answer the question?
No.
You should be careful. Oh, after a bit.
True. But he's saying you should know that's how Makara is.
Technically.
Oh, Marley. So he says to me, V'chimatilin kankanton l'tokadyo. Wait a minute. It's a good thing you mentioned that, Sid. Because who gives you the right to put, we have another chair, our president is here. Because you put kankanton into the ink, but the Torah says you're supposed to be able to erase the parsha and the Sefer Torah. Because if you have a seita, you should be able to take the parsha seita and erase it in the water. If you put in Kan Kan Tom, you will not be able to do an erasure, which proves that that's not the way to write a Sefer Torah. Halo amra Torah v'katav umacha, tav sheyachol limachot. It has to be erasable. So there was apparently, Tosfos says, apparently Rabbi Shmuel held that that's an indication, he had a limud to indicate that parsha seita teaches us how the ksiva of a Sefer Torah, the flawless. So, as you pointed out, it was a secondary issue. He was talking to him about being careful, and he's telling him I got magic ingredients. I mean, that has nothing to do with the issues that were on Rabbi Shmuel's mind. I mean, there was Aseros, and especially if Rabbi Meir was not writing Mitoch HaKtav, and God only knows what little mistakes he can make. So, what was he telling him? What was he answering? What was he telling him? What he was saying is, look, you got nothing to worry about because I am like a computer. You'll never find me in a mistake. I'm so careful that I worry that maybe a fly will land on the Sefer Torah. Maybe he'll sit on the edge of the Dalet while the ink is wet if I wouldn't use Kantanton. Umachikle, he'll fly off with the ink, and he'll leave it a reish. Umashvili reish, and that would be a big problem. So I'm careful even about that. Again, this is where we ask. Why do we need this example? I mean, can I have an even better example?
Not like the time.
I'm okay, but obviously, I mean, the Gemara wants to bring shinui in the oath of meaning, not just because that's what we were talking about. Machri v'shalom, not simply the possible.
Did you say what happened in Shmuel?
Okay, that's right. No, then that's exactly. That's why we need to make it work out. As I say, that to say, Stam, you'll possibly, it. Numele, you'll possibly, it. But over years, worse than possible. Anyway, so this is a completely backward story, because Kasha Shimush Hashimush. Before you said that first he was Mishamish Rabbi Shmuel, and then he went to Rabbi Akiva, and here it says he went to Rabbi Akiva, didn't tell him anything. Then he went to Rabbi Shmuel, make up your mind. Besides which, I mean, Kasha Asra Asra. First he said Rabbi Shmuel never made him any problems, and Rabbi Akiva did. And the other version has Rabbi Akiva never made him any problems, Rabbi Shmuel did. I mean, what did exactly did Rabbi Shmuel hold? Well, the truth is that the Shimush HaShimush lo Kasha. Mi'ikara Atala Kamed Rabbi Akiva. The truth is he did go to learn by Rabbi Akiva first, as we see over here. The problem is Rabbi Akiva was too difficult for him to understand. So he moved over to Rabbi Shmuel. with Rabbi Yishmael. He was Gomar Gemara. So there he learned all of the halachas and the gemaras and the mishnayos, the way they were given over, without the complexity that Rabbi Akiva would give him, that confused him. He wanted to have it simple first. He went to Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael kept things simple. Then he moved back to Rabbi Akiva, the Sovar Svara. And that he indeed learned how to think from Rabbi Akiva. But okay, that's okay. But how do you explain the fact that in one case it's Rabbi Akiva Atta, the other one says Rabbi Yishmael Atta? That's the problem. That's for Kasha. Kasha, you're right. I'm a mistake. Sorry?
Didn't Rabbi Meir learn from Acher as well? Where did he fit
into the Seder Hadvarim? Right. I mean, I somebody learned from many people. I don't know, you know, that it was Manish or... I don't know.
It's Rabbi Meir.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could have been an assertion rather than a Zikr learning. Tanya Rabbi Yudha Aymer. Rabbi Meir Arya Aymer. L'chol matilin kankan tel metochad yo. The reason that Rabbi Meir was chaylik is because Enochinami. Tav, you need Shiacholi Machot, but only Parshat Sota, not Kala Torah Kula. So, in the mail, there's no problem in the rest of the Sefer Torah. Rabbi Yaakov Omer Mishmo, not Parshat Sota in your local Sefer Torah, Parshat Sota Sheva Migdash. And when you're writing the Megillah of a Sota, not that you have to write a Sefer Torah to take the Megillah out of the Sefer Torah. What are they arguing? It might be naive. Omar, Rav Yirmiyah, the Machloikas is Limchek Lominatari Kabinayu. Can you use the Parsha Seita Shibatera to be mythic for an actual Parsha Seita? V'hai Tanoi Ka'ana Tanoi. This Machlokas is the following Machlokas. The Tanya, Ein Megillah Takshir Al Ashkot Ba'asota Acheret. Rav Achi Ba'yosham Ein Megillah Takshir Al Ashkot Ba'asota Acheret. Suppose you write out a Megillah for a Sota who then indeed changed her mind and admitted that she had sinned and so on, so then we don't do the Mechika. So now the question, can I use it for the next one in line? So it's a machlokas, can I or not? So apparently, that's a machlokas. Does the Megillah have to be written for this particular Seder or not? Amrav Papa, how can you say that? I mean, Dilma Lowy? Hakan lo kamatanakam asam alakivan de intik l'shum rochel tulo adam intik l'shum leah. It's a very different case. A Sefer Torah is not written in the name of any particular Seder. The case over here was, I wrote a Megillah Sota for, let's say, Rachel, and then didn't use it. Can I use it for Leah? That's a violation of what it was written for. Masha Enkin Avogabi Torah, the Stama Michtava Sefer Torah is written without anyone in particular in mind. So then maybe in Achinami, everybody would agree Achinami to Machkino. Maybe that's okay. It's just you can't use it if it's written specifically for somebody else. And when Nachal Bar Yitzchak said, you could say the other way around. You could say, Dilma Lohi, Ken Lo Kamer Rabaki Bar Yoshia, Temel Adi Yichtav Mila Shum Seita. Look, Rabbi Akiva Bar Yoshia said, you can use the Megillah for another Seita because at least it's a Megillah Sota. It was written for that person. Masha Ein Ken Gabi Torah, Yuchan Meit Iva, So Hakinami De Lo Machina. Maybe there's, you can't use it for Mechika at all. By the way, these words, it seems to be just a small issue that Billy Yitlamit Kepina. It's actually, apparently, the basis of the Russian Tzach that if you don't require a Sefer Torah for learning from, then you don't have a mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah. Because then you'll Billy Yitlamit Ksiva.
Don't take them.
Obviously, it's a big mark like this Rishayna.
The mitzvah of writing.
The mitzvah of writing is for learning from. I mean, for us, where we have form to learn from, we don't learn from a Sefer Torah at all. So then it's not only to read, but it doesn't say to read. It says Leif Lameit. So the mitzvah of Siva Sefer Torah is apparently Leif Lameit. So you're telling me, let's say the Rav Achi Bar Yoshia, excuse me, but how could Rav Achi Bar Yoshia hold that the Megillah is kosher for another sota? Isn't this like writing a get for woman A, not using it, finding another woman with the same name and same husband's name, and using it for her? I mean, it's an affair of a Mishnah, you can't do that. Doesn't he hold of what's written in the Mishnah? Katab Yesh Legarejesh Et Ishto. He writes a get to divorce his wife, Benimlach, and changes his mind. Umatso Beniro. He finds another guy in his town. He finds a guy in his city, and he says, wow, what a fantastic coincidence. Why, your name is just as like mine. Your wife's name is just like my wife. And you live in town. Don't you want to divorce your wife? Maybe. So I'll make you a deal you can't refuse. So could he use it? There's the Mishnah Patsula Garishbo. So why can a Megillat Sotah be used? Says the Gemara, what's the comparison? The Kalachi Asha. Hatam Vikatavla Be'ina. It writes on this Vikatavla Ktiv. That means that Be'ina Ktivah Lishma. The writing of the gate has to be Vikatavla Sefer Kritut. La means Lishma. You can't just have a form of a Sefer Kritut. Whereas Hak of the Asala Ktiv, it doesn't say write a Megillat Sotah for a Sotah. It says do the Torah Sotah, meaning the Mechika and the drinking and so on. So the Asiya is the Mechika. But if we haven't gotten to the point of the Mechika over here, you're right. You can't use water in which you have been Mochek, the Megillah of a Sotah for a particular woman, to give to another woman. That, of course, Hak agrees. That's the Pasuk. But to write it, there's no need to write it in particular. Omer Rav Acha Bar Chanina, the truth is, when Rabbi Akiva made this little comment about, you know, this kid's a really smart guy, about Rabbi Meir. It's more than that. When Rabbi Meir grew up, Galui v'yadua lifnei misha amar v'aya olam, she'en b'dorosh Rabbi Meir kimoto. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, there's nobody like Rabbi Meir in his generation. It's very strange. I mean, b'nei ma lo kavu halakha kimoto. Why is it that we don't have a clown to follow Halacha Rabbi Meir? We don't follow Rabbi Meir, not halacha, even though he was clearly the greatest in his generation. The reason is, shelo yachlu chaverav la'amod atzov da'ato. They simply were unable to understand him. Because he could persuade you that wrong was right and right was wrong, and it sounded to you perfectly, you know, exactly as logical, and then he would say, ha, fooled you. Actually, this was the other way around. And then, now you don't know what, you don't know if you're coming or going. So how are you supposed to be able to relate to a level of logic that is clearly out of your reach and use it to paskin halacha? Shahaya omer, because I mean he could take something that was tameh and say it's tahor, and umarelo panim al tahor, and then he could say tameh umarelo panim, then he could say it's tameh, and he would prove to you it's tameh, and to you it sounded exactly the same. In which case you can't use his logic. You have to be able to utilize in a beit din. Not to rely blindly on somebody's authority because, boy, he sure sounds smart, but to be able to pass him. So in order to pass him, you have to understand the level of logic that you're dealing with. If you're not able to handle Rabbi Meir, so then Rabbi Meir indeed cannot be relied on halacha. Yes, Rabbi passed him, where he passed him, like Rabbi Meir. That's where the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, according to the author. But otherwise he wasn't so good. Tana lo Rabbi Meir Shmo. The truth was that originally he wasn't given the name Meir. His real name was Rabbi Nohuroi Shmo. They changed his name to Rabbi Meir. Lama nikra Shmo Rabbi Meir. Shahau Meir enei chachamim b'halakha. Because he would light up people's eyes in halakha. Now the truth is, of course, Nohuroi also means light up. So what's the difference? You're going from Nohuroi or Rabbi Meir? What exactly is it? The nafkamina is that Meir is to light up others. Now, Roy is to be a light. It doesn't mean it's going to light other people's eyes. But what you see here is an amazing thing. Right? No, Sagi Nahar means much light, which is a euphemism for an Iver. But the real word Nahar is light. Because many ask, we just got finished saying that nobody knew what he was talking about. So how was he being made if they didn't understand it? Lechora, you see from here that the fact that you can't understand is not a problem in terms of how it expands your mind. Here, you can be challenged, and that challenge opens your mind. I think it's a very, very important nekuda, because people generally are afraid of things that they don't understand, and that means that in Torah or in Bichlal, in terms of how to understand the world, it is better to be exposed to things that you totally have no idea what's going on, but that challenge you to expand your mind and not to seek something on your own level, except to get the main, you know, like what he did with Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Meir himself, to get the basic information. I remember when I first came to Eretz Yisrael, when I was a kid, I used to go to all of the Reb Chaim Shtutzman, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levinson's shiurim, and I'm telling you, I didn't know what was going on for the first couple of months. I could not figure out, but I sense that there's something here that I want to get. And furthermore, Velo Nahoroi Shmo, actually his name wasn't Rabbi Nahoroi, it was Rabbi Nathemya. And some say it's Rabbi Elazar ben Arak Shmo. And why did he start off being called Nahoroi? Shemanhir Enei Chachamim Bahalakha. It's problematic on the mayor, right? Except that there are many shitas in the Rishonim that this is a reference to completely different people. The known Rabbi Nahoroi is Rabbi Nathemya. The Rabbi Meir's original name was Rabbi Nahoroi, not that Rabbi Nahoroi, which certainly must be, because Rabbi Elazar ben Arak was four generations earlier. So how could it be in the same generation as Rabbi Meir? Makes no sense. Right? He was a Talmud by Rabbi Yochanan. He's listed as one of the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. It couldn't possibly be that four generations later we're going to have somebody that's called still that's the same as Elazar ben Arak. So it makes very good sense. There was a Rabbi Nahoroi who was not really Rabbi Nahoroi. Don't confuse that with Rabbi Meir. It was Rabbi Elazar ben Arak or Rabbi Nathemya, and they called him, just as Mr. Nathemya one day, huh? Will light everybody's eyes up in Halakha. I like the rolling of the eyes there. You're supposed to imagine the greatest. And therefore they changed his name to Rabbi Nahoroi. Omer Rebbe, you should know that Rebbe says, "Hi, the Nechadadma Michavroi, the Chaziki la Rebbe Meir Meachore." The reason that I ended up smarter than my friend is because I saw Rebbe Meir from the back. The Rashi learns to be that he would sit. He was like not one of the star Talmidim, so he would sit in back. Star Talmidim were in front,
from the back, not from behind.
But he saw him from the back. No, from behind him, because they had seats that were behind the lecturer. But it's interesting, there's a Yerushalmi that says that Rebbe actually saw Rebbe Meir once with his neck exposed from behind. Usually Rebbe Meir would walk around the palace. What happened is, it's a very interesting story, that once Rebbe Meir walked in where the Talmidim were doing something else. I don't remember exactly what Rebbe's track was, but he walked in when Rebbe's Talmidim were doing something that he helped was also to do on Shabbat. So he shouts, "What is this? Utra Shabbat?" So the whole tumult of the Beit HaMedrash. So Rebbe comes running up to see what kind of chutzpah, who's coming to make problems in his Beit HaMedrash. Rebbe Meir hears Rebbe's coming. He didn't want it to become a whole big shebang. So he ran out. And as he ran out, his talus fell off. And as Rebbe looked at him and saw him. And it was on that time that he's saying, "That did it for me. I only needed to see him once." Interesting. It's very Nogei Shabbat. For Klal Yisrael, that he had to take off the mask, and they needed to actually face him and see him, and that made a fantastic difference. It put a face on the face. And what it was in his mind, and if I could have seen him from in front, I would have been a lot better off if I could have seen him from the front. Surely he ran away. Om Rebbe Avu, Om Rebbe Yochanan, Talmid Haya Lo Rebbe Meir, B'Sumcha Shmo, Shehaya Omer Al Kol Davar V'Davar Shel Tum'ah, 48 Taimei Tum'ah, V'Al Kol Davar V'Davar Shel Tahara, 48 Taimei Tahara. There was one Talmid, the Rebbe Meir, who learned his lessons well, but at least he didn't say the Talmid was Tor, 48 was. Some say 48 over years because there were Hamishim Sharedina. Moshe Rabbein was Ma'at Me Elohim, I couldn't quote the Sefer. So he was missing one of the Shari Bina. So he had men test upon him in the tomb of Elatira. This Talmud was one less than Moshe Rabbein. But there's a Girsa that has actually men test. And Tana Talmud Vatika Yabi Yavna. Now Yavna is a place in Barnea's neighborhood. Shehayam Mitzaheret Asheret B'meyav HaChamishim Ta'amim. It was a Talmud in Yavne that would prove that a sheretz was tohar 150 different ways. Okay. Now here is the famous question of Tosfos of what is the purpose of false rhetoric. Why is anybody wasting their time to figure out why a sheretz is tohar? If the Torah says it's tameh, all that we're doing is playing games. They're not supposed to be game playing. Well, what's the mila in such a thing? So Tosfos has an interesting approach in which the question is a sheretz mitame mishum nevela? Only mitam sheretz. card brings quite a few napkins in his halacha. So he proved that it wasn't Natame of Nevela in half of the Shabbat. However, Lemaisa, I mean, there's many of the, and there's a lot of different approaches. The famous, really wild shot of the Gra. I don't know if you, did you ever hear this wild shot? He says, Me'av HaKamishim is a reference to the pasuk of the Chotzer HaMishkan was Me'ah and then HaKamishim HaKamishim. It starts off by saying Kadmava Azla, and then it goes, the next truck is Munach, what is it? Munach Ruvi, right? So he darshans from Me'ah V'Chamishim Kadmava Azla, that the Nachash was originally Kadmava Azla. It was standing up and would walk. But then it became Munach Ravi, which is a lotion of Orfi the Rivi. It was slithering on the ground. And okay, he would bring a riot from that pasuk that it couldn't be that it was Tomei because of the what we're going to bring over here. Because he was comparing it to Nachash, Shabbat, which brings me, so is it Natame? There's a lot of different versions as to what the final riot, but that's how he was the Avakani. But anyway, many of the Mepharshim say that obviously the Pshat of being Matayer means that you have to identify all of the elements of Tyre. You know, whenever, what are we doing? We're saying, Allah Kalamaisa, the Tyre says the sheriff is coming. Fine. But that's all a black and white issue. But how about all of the various elements that go into making that determination? So I can show you 150 different points that are not the reason that a sheriff is coming. Each and one of those points, and here's where they bring the thing that my grandfather said, each and one of those points may be exceedingly critical in other locations, in terms of where, and this happens all the time. It looks in a particular sugya that thinks it's simple, but then because of Divrei Torah Aniyim V'Mokamachar, Ashirim V'Mokamachar, you find some type of strange nafkamina, you're trying to make a Kal V'Chomer, and you realize, but wait, when it comes to a sheretz, that wasn't an issue, so on and so forth. So, of course, it's extremely important to take a look and break apart the elements, even if the bottom line is not going to change whether it's tummy or thorough. And you never know what tremendous nafkamina they will make. Says Ravina, Ani adun v'atarena. I'm going to figure out a way to prove that a sheretz is taught. Because if the nochash, which can kill you, and it's marbet tumah, it's tar. So a normal sheretz, which is not mainly in marbet tumah, for sure it should be tar. Right? You don't seem impressed. Say the Gemara below here. That doesn't prove a darn thing. I mean, what does that have to do with it? Maaseh kotz b'yarmulke avi. So what do you say? That is, so he kills people. Okay. What does that have to do with his tumah? That has to do with just that he's, it's like getting stuck and being stabbed with art. Therefore the knife should be tumah because marbet tumah. Nothing to do with it. Omer Baba Omer Shmuel. Shalosh shanim nechlekut Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. There were 3 years of massive machlokes in Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Halalo omri malacha kamotenu, halalo omri malacha kamotenu, on any number of sugyot. Yatza bat kov amra elu ve'elu divrei Elohim chayimein ve'alacha kebeit Hillel.
And where did the Baskolim
come? Ah, where indeed? It's a Baskolim barneya sefer. Now the question is, what does it mean to say halalu omen halacha kamotinu v'halalu omen halacha? Obviously, did you ever hear somebody argue some halachas like the other guys? You want to say that they were chaylik for all 3 years, but it's halalu omen halacha kamotinu. It's a very strange language.
But they don't usually say that.
So some learn that the pshat is that they had a machlokas running about the place of numbers or the place of stature, of logic, in psak halacha. Because remember the Tosas before that explained that the reason that we would be Samech on a Basko or take it to that Samech, not necessarily to everybody, but the reason we would take a Basko seriously in this case was because the truth is that Beit Hillel was the Rove anyway. So we thought Akrei Rabim La'atot. But Beit Shammai, because of the fact that they were smarter and were able to bring better riots, they kind of halakha kamotam. So even so, Tosas doesn't say about this Gemara, but Tosas earlier. So kind of that's what it means. The Beit Shammai were saying the halakha is only like the Rabbim, where the people against you aren't much brighter than you. And we're a lot brighter, so why don't you just give up? they feel it was spending halacha kamatena, that we're in the majority and the majority rules, and look, you take a look at your CV and you see which one is right. So it comes out. So it comes out the Baskol and confirms what we already know, essentially, about Leibov being Baskol.
Do we pass
them
as Baskol or do we pass them as Leibov?
Because the Baskol is massive place to say, so what we know, we might be reliant on the Baskol. But if in fact both opinions are correct, why should we pass the halacha like Beit Hillel? You don't want to miss this one. You really don't. Another 2 minutes. The reason is because they're nice guys. The Nofin is that they're tolerant of the other's opinion and they accept secondary positions without complaining. Some of it gives a ne'alavim, like the ne'alavim and ne'alavim. Because aluvim has a bad connotation, such as aluva kala, kezinta tachat kupata. So aluvim would mean those who tolerate people speaking impertinently against them, so which we saw, of course, there's no mice with Hillel.
Nice guys finish last.
Nice guys finish first. The shonim d'ibrahim, because they finish last. Since they say both Dibrayem and Dibrayem Shammai, the Lord of Shammai, they mean Dibrayem Shammai and Dibrayem, they always first quote Beit Shammai. So the nice guys come in last. But because of that, we pass can like that the halacha is Shemotam. And that, by the way, I point out, whenever you have a Mishnah, it always says Beit Shammai Omrim and Beit Hillel Omrim. Never says Beit Hillel Omrim and Beit Shammai Omrim. But that's because Rebbe continued the Shalshalat of the Nisiyot of Hillel. So he took that approach. Always say Beit Shammai first, even though they're wrong.
No,
100%.
Thank you.
Not 100%? Oh, boy, we've got some...
The computer.
No, we've got a computer. That's the problem. You can't stop fighting.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe those are the cases where there was different.
Sure.
Like the one we just passed.
How does this interact with the book
No, you mean how does this? What does this have to do with halacha kumotam? Between mazaku. Here the question is between mazaku, not between ma. Why did he pass them like that? But what was it about them that made it work out that they should be halacha kumotam? Right, and that's a whole different idea. I mean, that there's many approaches as to why this is central to halacha kumotam. But the fact is, certainly in the pursuit of a realistic way of dealing with the world. People that are more objective because they have more anava. And Moshe Rabbeinu also wasn't necessarily the smartest guy around. He couldn't figure out Rabbi Akiva Shir. But Lamaisa, I mean, he was anav mikol adam, and that allows you to be much more objective because there's less of yourself in the way. Matter of fact, we don't have a word in Hebrew for objective other than anava. Exactly. You have to import a word. And that's why the word anav also means response. Responsiveness. So there's a. It also means the way we get you to respond by giving you inuyin. And so that's something. By breaking you, we can get to the truth. And that's exactly the idea of anibut all along. Elements of it, yeah. There's also the other issue, which is the fact that they would put a bar plukta first means that the bar plukta is taken into consideration in terms of what they do. Someone who puts his own opinion first can't be sure that he's the acharein, he's the Risha. Halach is always like the acharein. In other words, I evolve my opinion in light of your opinion. That's a real bar plukta. The other guy's just fighting. That's tremendously
important.
And then, of course, we need to bring today as a writer. And where do we see that they were always mocked in Beit Shammai with Dibrayim? Tosfos Shamino. Mishaya Rosho Velubo Besukah Veshulchano V'Tok Habayit. Somebody who either has himself a small sukkah, there's two chapters in the Gemara there, we cannot deal with both according to many Yishanim, or he has a small sukkah that they put Beit Shammai first. He has a small sukkah and can't fit Rosho Velubo Veshulchano. Or he has a big sukkah, but he left Shulchano in the Bayit. And the question is, are we precious that he's going to lean over when he eats and end up eating outside of the sukkah? So Beit Shammai postlin, uBeit Hillel machshirin. Omru Beit Hillel beit Shammai. And here comes the proof. Lo kach haya ma'aseh. So who's the Zikne Beit Shammai? The Zikne Beit Hillel. You see, the Zikneim of Beit Shammai, they put Beit Shammai first, went together with Zikne Beit Hillel, the Bakeret of Yochanan, Ben Achorandi, Umatsa'u Yoshev Roshov Ubaba Sukha. And there he was. There was Rabbi Yochanan sitting there. Amrullah and Beit Shammai. Ha! Misham Raya? That you're bringing as a proof? That's a proof to us. If this is the way you've been eating in your sukkah, baby, you never had a mitzvah sukkah in your life. The lamdacha, but with this object lesson, is to teach you shekol ha-mashpil atzmo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu magbio. Somebody who makes himself less, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes him greater. V'kol ha-magbio atzmo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpilo. Kol ha-mechazer ala gidula, gidula borachat minena. People who are running after hot stuff, it runs away from them. This is the closest medrash, the closest maimer of Chazal to the supposed Reda Fakra HaKovet, which doesn't exist anywhere. There's no such Reda Fakra HaKovet. I could have covered Barakas Menon. People make up a Mishnah. They always quote it. It doesn't exist anywhere. But this is the closest we get to it. That if you wrote a Fakra HaGedula, HaGedula is Barakas Menon. They call a Boreach Men HaGedula, Gedula Mechazer HaSachalat. They call a Dochekat HaShah, Shah Dochakstof. When you push for something at the wrong time, you see that you're trying to do something. This happens very, very often with business ideas. You have a brilliant idea, and the timing is everything. And if you can't get it through your head that the timing is incorrect, you see you tried it a couple of times, it's just not working for no apparent reason, then don't keep pushing. Because the time will come, and that's when it's going to be successful. Whereas if you keep trying at the wrong time, somebody else is going to end up doing that. This has happened so many times. But in terms of inventions or business plans and so on, it's really wild.
They tell the sales somebody else plans.
The politics. Somebody who allows himself to push off his plans, then the time will come for him. I mean, how do we see this? Some learn it's just a list. There's perushim that say that the three milas of that they put, they were aluvim and they were nochim, and that they put Beit Shammai first are connected these three. You could see how it's, but I always avoid these kind of loose associations. But I mean, clearly the Gemara.
They will have their moment.
The Tanur Rabbanan is also very much a sukkah inyan. Tanur Rabbanan shtei shanim u'mechta nechlaku Beit Shammai u'Beit Hillel was a major machlokus about the human condition. Halalo amrim noach lola adam shaloni vra yoter mishni vra. The one sheet of help. This whole thing, people would have been maybe better off if they had never been created. Va'alala omri, noach lola adam, let's talk about him. Noach lola adam shenivra yoter mishalo nivra. But actually it would have been, it's better that he's created. Ninu v'damus o Rav Haigon asked, isn't it a fair shapasik in Kohelet?
Yeah.
V'tov v'shnei em asher aden lo haya, v'lo ra'at kol ha'maaseh ala asher tachat. Okay? So that makes it very much a sukkah. We're questioning the... Anyway, they finally took a vote, and mashallah, they added up all the lavim and they added up all the essays, and it ended up you could get screwed up much more easily than you could get screwed up. 365 against 248. So Ninu v'gomu, it's too. And they decided Noach lo adam shelo nivra. Actually, yoter mishenivra. Akshav shenivra. But look, that's not the issue because it's over. So now the question is, so what do we do about this mess? So akshav shenivra yefashfesh b'maasav. Some say yefashfesh. Other learns yimachbesh. Rashi learns the yefashfesh means go through those things that you've already done to be mitakein them, and yimachbesh is to see what things you can do to better yourself in the future. The famous Basilis Yesharim, in which Yefashmesh is to separate the Maisim Royim, and Yemashmesh is to feel through the Maisim Tevim and to find out what bad things, whether it's in terms of motivations or the way in which you did things and so on, could have been filtered out of the good things that you did. so that they would have been pure and so on, is Mishmash. So Tosfos says, this is Noach Lola Adam. I mean, it can't be true, because the Gemara says, Bo v'nachzi tovel havaseinu sh'asos ha'ega. So if Lamai said, the Havim in the Gemara anyway, that we never would have been born if they hadn't, oh, well, that's even better. So why should we be machzik teva? We should say, oh, you know, yeah, right? I mean, it would have been better if the whole thing would have ended then we wouldn't have been born. Why does it say it's a good thing that people kept dying so that we could be born? Okay, so Tosfos says that obviously we're not referring to people who make a success of their lives. I mean, Ashrav and Ashrei Doro and everything's great. We're talking about the masses out there. It's Noach Lo. Okay, there's many, as you can imagine, this is like, this is grist for the mill of so many discussions and Werther and so on. But I'll throw in my two cents. That's why I say the Daf Yomi, so I can have two cents. That the Nekuda over here is Noach. We're not giving an existential definition. We're talking about Nochiut. It's a completely different issue. And there, the question boils down to, I think, the Shaila of the way the Gemara views Maisa Bereishis as having been done with the acquiescence of the Nivroi. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked every Nivra, do you wish to be created or not?
Right?
And so they have to answer yes in Rosh Hashanah, which is really where the problem comes up. So there the Shaila is that question, is that a question that is possibly existentially driven? In other words, is there such a thing as a desire to exist when existence isn't known? The same paradox that the Mishkan Rosh Hashanah brings up. Is that something that we could say someone wants? Is it possible to have a wanting for existence? No, obviously not the emotional wanting. The Gemara is saying that there can be an acceptance of existence. Right? That's basically the insight to the relationship of the end of a process to its beginning. That it always takes into consideration the end basically reflects on what was put in it. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, if this is the way the world evolved, then that means that's the way it was accepted that it would be. The Shaila is that something that is Noach? Can you imagine, if you wouldn't exist, can you imagine to yourself that never having come into existence, something would be missing? The question is the fact of existence only ex post facto? Once I exist, so now I have a relationship to existence. Or is there something about my existence that insists on being? Is there elements of a nivra that has connection to the actual status of existence? As we understand that in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is not a question. What is. So the Shaila is in a Nivra who is open to this question, which is only Adam. That's why the Briyas Adam was asked as a question. Was asked as a question originally, was left hanging. Is Briyat Adam something that we can look at that because this is the way it turns out, it's from our point of view something that is an existential given? Or is it just, that's the way it is? We sense ourselves that it is Noach. Not emotionally, but it's certainly a lot easier. But that's not all that Noach means, is easy. Noach means that it fits into its place. Nechama, and so on, right? That's
the
Noach.
The footprint was established before it came down, even before that.
Right, but that doesn't mean that we're part of that. It's a tremendously important question, because whether the participation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maisa Bereishis is after there's an insistence on his part that look, this is the way it's going to be. Now, do you want to be created under those circumstances or not? Yes. Fine, but what about if there hadn't been that first, this is the way it's going to be? We're going to have a lot of, it's 2.5 years they argued about it.
Came up
okay, I'm sure that was brought up, but you can see that the question is of tremendous importance, and you can already think of an enormous rise yourself. There's a lot of indications to both directions, and it's very, very fundamentally a circus issue. The whole position of humanity, the worst of a process. Sure.
Do you think NASA is also we're part of that formula, or is it just the Malacca? You could argue that NASA is also part of that.
I always argue that.
The Adam is actually less of a question because he is a question. Only a Nivra that's defined is not a question. An ongoing process.
Well, we're incomplete.
Therefore, the act of freedom is also incomplete. What do you think, Lafreniere, is best? Please, do come in.
I thought I said that.